Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Hey, welcome back here to the world famous Phil Hendry Show. What is this, bud?
It's almost pretty sure that they know about mermaids.
Well, I don't know. The mermaid.
Says here, mermaid hoax mermaids. The new evidence special sets ratings record for Animal Planet. Oh, please. I saw this advertised, and I wouldn't go near it with your eyeballs, bud.
You telling me, man? It looked pretty interesting.
Yeah, and they saw the mermaid. The guy goes, oh no, the mermaid.
I saw that. What happened?
I don't know, but I mean, you know, it, Animal Planet is like any other entity. They need to draw viewers. The only way you're going to draw viewers is if you keep people intrigued, if you keep them guessing, if you make it. But it doesn't mean that Animal Planet, ultimately being a documentary style, a news, I would say a documentary themed and truth informed channel. Animal Planet's not going to, oh, hey, here's mermaids, you know.
Well, then why is it on Animal Planet?
That's a good point. Animal Planet doesn't seem to be, that seems almost degrading to women.
Oh, now, don't start, Margaret.
That was great.
But no, what am I starting?
It's degrading to women to have mermaids on Animal Planet?
Are you telling me that it's not? If a mermaid is a woman, well, I won't make a big deal out of it, Phil. If you don't want mommy to...
Well, no, it's just, there's no point. There's no mermaids.
Then why were you all scared?
I don't know. I have no idea. I was looking at the promo on that, and the guy goes, oh, wow, was it a mermaid? No, you know.
Well, why would a mermaid scare an entire vessel, an oil tanker filled with men who have faced down Chinese heroin dealers, who have engaged in cannibalism, men who have eaten monkey brain soup? Why would they suddenly be frightened of a mermaid? Unless it was something scary.
Oh, take it easy, will you, Amy Semple McPherson, okay?
I'm just asking the questions that need to be asked, Phil. But that's okay, I'll ask them from the toilet.
Yeah, you do that. What's the evidence about mermaids? People can't get enough of them, even if it's a hoax. Animal Planet premiered their special Mermaids, the New Evidence, on Sunday. And the staged documentary set a ratings record for the network. Animal Planet managed to hook 3.6 million viewers with a special that speculates about the real-life existence of mermaids. Margaret?
Correct.
Using actors, according to the ABC News. Really? The special is a sequel to 2012's documentary Mermaids, The Body Found. We wanted people to approach the story with a sense of possibility and a sense of wonder, said Charlie Foley from his jail cell.
What?
I'm kidding, said Charlie Foley, the show's executive producer, telling ABC News. Hopefully, that's what mermaids allowed viewers to do. Allowed them to suspend their disbelief, imagine there's mermaids, and then call the CDC in case they think they got the clap from a mermaid. No, they didn't say that.
Yeah, I'm sure you're going to get the clap from a mermaid.
Give me that back, will you?
I want to see if you're lying.
Of course I'm lying.
What's this about the clap?
Never mind. After the first special aired, the National Ocean and Atmospheric Administration released a statement to clear up confusion for perplexed viewers over whether mermaids were real. Are you ready for that? This is what I'm talking about. No adult in America, in a land called America, with the advanced whatever the hell we got, should believe that there's mermaids. But I'm supposed to sit here and you see, that to me is very, it's depressing. And we're laughing about the people back in the 30s when they thought that there were Martians landing and those old farmers got the shotguns out. You remember that?
No.
Well, you heard of War of the Worlds.
Yeah, I heard of War of the Worlds on account of they thought a Martian landed.
Exactly. And they did think Martians landed.
A bunch of stupid idiots.
Uh-huh. And you're the guy that believes there's mermaids.
Yeah, man. Got on that one.
Well...
It is the same thing, bud. You're an idiot.
Oh, well, you're back now?
Yes, I'm back. It doesn't take me a half hour, Phil, like men, to take a note.
To what?
You heard me.
No, I didn't.
It takes men about a half of an hour to take a note.
Oh, my God, she took a dump in here.
How dare you?
All right, take it easy, will you?
Got any Glade?
Yeah, the upper cabinet.
All right.
Would you tell them not to make it into a spectacle?
Bud, there's no point in you saying, is there any Glade?
Yeah, I gotta know.
Would you please tell them not to make it a spectacle?
Don't make it a spectacle.
Especially him saying, you got any Glade? So what? Live in it, son. Live in it.
Yeah, every night.
I'll get up and kick your ass.
Hey, take it easy, will you? You're the one that's getting up in the middle of the show and... All right,
And what?
Never mind. After the first special aired, the National Ocean... Yeah, we already did this. And people were calling in, do mermaids exist? The belief in mermaids may have arisen at the very dawn of our species, the statement read. But are mermaids real? No. No evidence of aquatic humanoids has ever been found. Why, then, do they occupy the collective unconscious of nearly all seafaring peoples? That's the question best left to historians, philosophers, and anthropologists. At the end of the TV show Mermaids, a disclaimer read, through certain events in this film, though certain events in this film are fictional, Navy sonar tests have been directly implicated in whale beachings. Though certain events in this film are fictional, Navy sonar tests have been directly implicated in whale beachings. Are you ready for that?
Well, that's a crime.
Yeah. Navy sonar tests. Why? What has that got to do with? So they did say in the film that the Navy testing its sonar has led to the beaching of whales. That's bad. You know, and I'm not, you know, I would never call myself an environmentalist of the stripe that you, so many of us consider, you know, a real extremist. I would never be in Greenpeace. I'm just not motivated that way. I don't parade in front of Kentucky Fried Chicken with a sign saying, you know, stop torturing chickens. But I do care about animals. I guess we all do. Or if you don't, there's something kind of wrong with you. I'm not saying you got to be a nut about it, but everybody loves animals, it seems. And, when you hear about humans doing stuff that causes distress to animals that are just simply trying to exist in nature, it does bother me. That's why I've always been, from an early age, I've always been opposed to zoos. I stopped liking zoos probably when I was about 10 or 11. I didn't want to go to them anymore because they looked like places of the animals were not comfortable in these places. And I've never been able to figure out why it is we have to have them. The education argument does not fly with me.
Well, don't you think the children should have a place to go and see some of these animals?
I'm very sorry, but no, I don't think they, quote, should. Because, first of all, if the animal doesn't live in the environment that we live in, then I guess they're plumb out of luck. You can learn about these animals by way of film, by way of books, or by traveling to them. But to have an animal caged in an unnatural way for the rest of its natural life, so a 5 or 6 or 7 or 8-year-old kid can walk by, sucking on an ice cream cone and staring at it, and having a teacher go, well, that's what a lion was, and then on they go. I think it's a destruction. It is a destructive act. It's not a constructive act. Let me put it that way.
Well, what is that for you? Sometimes you get a little fancy with the words.
Yeah, what are you talking about, Mr. Henry? You're getting kind of fancy.
Yeah, you're way too clever. Way too clever.
What do you mean, way too clever? What are you, Heinrich Himmler all of a sudden?
You're getting fancy. What do you mean by that?
What's fancy about it? I'm saying it's a destructive act to have animals in a zoo.
Yeah, see, that's...
It's just too clever.
Get out of here. I'll get clever for you. So,
what do you think about if they had a mermaid? What would you want to do with that?
That's a good point. What if they discovered mermaids? Would you want the animal caged?
Is it an animal?
Don't avoid the point. Would you want it caged?
Would you quit giving a speech like you're standing in the pulpit here?
Well, would you?
If mermaids existed, no, I wouldn't. Any more than I'd want any other animal caged up. Unless it's a... I like to go down to the animal rescue down there at Aquarium of the Pacific.
Aha! That's an aquarium where sea lions live.
Right, but it's an animal rescue place. They only have animals there that have been rescued from disease or they've been injured, and they rehabilitate them there, and then they release them either back into the wild, or if they cannot be released, they keep them there. And they've got a few sea lions, and they've got a lot of other animals there, and I support that work. All right.
Okay, so end of discussion?
Pretty much for me, yeah, unless you could come up with something, you know, give me some compelling reason other than some kid can walk by when he's 10 and go, hey, look, a bear, and then keep on going. I see no reason for having zoos.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I know Phil has to go to a break, but you've just heard him basically savage our nation's zoos and the very hard work...
Wait, hold on.
No, and the very hard work done by individuals in the zoo... In the zooism, I guess.
Yeah.
What do you mean, zooism?
What is it when there's the world of zoos?
In the world of zoos.
No, but it's something else. The very hard work done by Jack Hanna and others in the zooiverse, right?
Yeah, that sounds good, Mr. Ray.
Yeah, I'd go with Zooiverse.
In the Zooiverse.
In the Zooiverse.
That's right, Smarty, unless you can think of something else.
In the world of zoos.
No, not the world. This is not a PBS special for kids. In the zoo, the zoo-woo.
All right, we'll be right back.
Yeah, we'll be right back because Phil's run out of ways to put me down.
You know, we'll be right back in just a moment. World famous Phil Hendry Show. I'm not
Truth
putting you down.
Is our
what do you mean,
bitch,
zoo-woo?
The Phil Hendry Show.
It's a word. It needs another syllable. In the zoo-woo-woo.
Yeah, go with zoo-woo-woo.
I'm going to show you here on Phil TV and HD, Bud and Margaret and everybody. I'm going to show you a face, and I want you to identify who this face is. And for those of you who are at home who are not on Phil TV and HD, I am showing a very, very famous, a guy that we all should know.
Dawes Butler.
How did you know it was Dawes Butler?
Because the name's at the bottom of the...
Oh.
Yeah, way to go.
All right,
Yeah, you really want to... Fool people, Phil. Don't have the name down there.
Who's Dawes Butler?
Who's Dawes Butler, huh? Dawes Butler was the voice of so many of the characters on those Hanna-Barbera shows that we were just talking about. He did the voice of Elroy Jetson. He did a bunch of voices on the Flintstones.
Oh, he did the little boy voice.
Yeah. And Dawes Butler, who passed on in 1988, I met him in 1980. I was very fortunate to have met him. He was in his early 60s at the time, and he came on the radio show that I was doing. I was doing a rock and roll show here in L.A. on K-West Radio, which those of you who are local to Los Angeles, K-West is now Power 106. But back then it was a rock station. We were doing a morning show, and we had a bunch of these guys come in. And Dawes Butler came in, and he was making little notes to himself during the commercial break, and he would break into these voices. I couldn't believe how good he was at doing that Elroy Jetson voice, even at the age of 64. He sounded just like a little kid, and he was just great. And the reason why I mentioned him is because we were talking about Hanna-Barbera, you know, Ralph Bakshi. We were talking about Ralph Bakshi.
Well, Ralph Bakshi did the adult cartoons.
What about the zoo-woo-woo?
Will you forget the zoo-woo-woo, bud?
We're off of zoo-woo-woo, okay? We're on to another topic.
Yeah, but you never figured out the world of the zoo.
It's called the zoo-woo.
No, that's not a word. That's not even a... That's not... You can't claim to have any level of education or erudition, pardon the big word, if you use a word like zoo-woo-woo.
In the world of the zoo, that's what you want me to say.
It sounds better than zoo-woo. All right, so we're done with that, and now we're on to this discussion here, because we'd gotten back on Ralph Bakshi. Now, Ralph Bakshi was an animator in the 70s. He made Fritz the Cat. He made Wizards. He made Lord of the Rings. He made a lot of them. And some were great, and some sucked, and some were, in between. But when we talked about adult cartoons, or if you will, cartoons that had a bit more of adult fare or adult content, it didn't necessarily have to be Ralph Bakshi and those sexy babes that he had in Fritz the Cat with the large chest. It could be just kind of adult humor or maybe more sophisticated humor. And that came about in the 60s with cartoons like not only Rocky and Bullwinkle, but even the Flintstones. You know,
you think the Flintstones was sophisticated? Good God in heaven.
No, I thought, Margaret, it was a cut above a kid's cartoon. Wouldn't you say that?
Well, I'd say that, yes. But Dawes Butler, I knew Dawes Butler. Well, I didn't know him, but I felt as if I should have known him because he was interesting. He did all those voices with June Foray. Okay.
June Foray did Rocky.
She did Rocky. She did Natasha. She did a lot of different voices. But Dawes Butler, I feel as if I should get Frank on the phone. Get my husband, Frank, please.
Margaret, do you mind if I'm the one that asks them?
Okay, Phil?
Would you get Frank on the phone?
Yes, sir.
There, you feel better?
Yeah, but you don't have to embarrass me in front of everybody. Why are we getting Frank?
Frank knew, are you kidding? Frank knew everyone. At one time or another, Frank knew everyone.
Hi, Frank. Yeah, Bud Dickman over on a... Yeah. Yeah. What? Okay. He says he's over at the club right now. He's with Dean Wheeler checking out his wife.
Checking out his wife? What the... Hey, Frank. Hi, honey. Frank?
Yeah, yeah.
Frank, it's Margaret.
Yeah, we're over here right now talking to Dean's wife. I don't know when he's going to come off the bandstand. Okay.
Okay, Frank, Margaret wanted to ask you something.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, what is that?
It's this wife of Dean Wheeler. His name's Emeralda.
Oh, yeah, we're familiar with her.
Yeah, well, he's singing. And Dean's been going ape. He's been walking around the stage here, and Dean has been going ape. She's trying to tell him to stop walking around the stage and just stay put. And he wants to walk around, and apparently there's a thing going on between him and the horn player that is driving Dean clean out of her mind.
Okay. Can we ask you something about Dawes Butler?
What's that?
Can we ask you something about Dawes Butler?
Dawes Butler. Dawes Butler. Now, who's she?
He was a voice actor on the Flintstones.
Well, I knew about the Butler. There was Ruth Butler. But that was Dawes Butler's mother. He was Dawes' mother.
No, I don't...
Hold on for a minute, because Dean's about to come out of her skin here. What's wrong, Dean? I this is going to take a while. Phil, can you go ahead and ask me the question?
Well, what Margaret's going to ask it.
Yeah, Dawes Butler, did you know him?
I knew of Dawes Butler. I knew there were hints of Dawes Butler. There were rumors of Dawes Butler. But did I know her? No, I didn't know her. I didn't know her in the way you want me to know her. I knew of Dawes Butler.
Well, did you deal with Dawes Butler in the entertainment world? You were doing entertainment law.
I was doing entertainment law. I was also doing, I was producing television shows. I was doing a lot of things. I was trying to feed a family that it basically was just you. You understand that, don't you?
Yes, I do.
All right, that's what I was doing. Now, meantime, Dawes Butler, there were images of Dawes Butler. There were whispers of Dawes Butler.
Did you know Dawes Butler or didn't you?
I just got done saying I knew about her. And yes, I knew her. I knew her in the sense that you know anyone whose image is with you even as you sleep.
What are you talking about anyway?
Frank, what are you saying?
I'm saying you asked me did I know Dawes Butler. I knew her. Wouldn't you say you knew someone whose face loomed in front of you as you slept at night?
Well, why was his face looming in front of you?
It was a name. It was like any name. It was a name. It was a person. It was there. And it was never going to leave me, Dawes Butler. Hold on for a minute. What's wrong now? Dean's about ready to run up on the bandstand and rape her own wife. Can you believe that?
What are you talking about?
I mean, Dean is beside herself. She wants to go up there and rape her wife, who's singing. That's how angry she is.
Well, you better tell Dean to calm down. Otherwise, I will be the first guy to sign the papers on him that puts him in the nut wagon.
Say that again, Phil. I didn't hear it.
I said, tell Dean to calm down. I'll be the first guy to sign the papers on him to put him in a nut wagon.
I'm sorry. It's very loud here.
Okay, you know.
All right, Frank, we'll talk later.
What? Who's that?
Well,
you know.
I don't know. What did you want to ask him?
I asked him, and he answered. He said, yes, he knew Dawes Butler.
No, he didn't. He said that he knew rumors of Dawes Butler. There were images of Dawes Butler. Things floating in front of his face.
Well, I don't know about that.
Yeah, that's what he said.
He did. Didn't you hear him?
Why are you getting all excited with the hands? I know Frank. I know how he talks. He knew Dawes Butler.
Well, he didn't say that he knew...
He didn't say he knews Dawes Boo.
Dawes Butler.
He didn't say he knews Dawes Butler. He said he knewed.
He said he knew. You say that he said he knew Dawes.
You know, Phil, you would screw up a Chinese fire drill.
Racist?
No, you're the racist.
No, you said what you said. You're a racist. All right, so Frank didn't know Dawes Butler. I don't know where that got us. Nowhere. We're still smack dab right at the beginning. And what were we trying to find out? Who knows? Anyway, Dawes Butler, God rest your soul, sir. Thank you very much for the years of entertainment. You're fantastic. Love you, babe. Can't live without you. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
What a smart ass.
Well.
Frank said that he nude it up.
Frank nude it up around Dawes Butler. That's what you just said.
No, I didn't. Well, if he did, I...
Phil Hendry. This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Now I'm trying to remember. Welcome back to world famous Phil Hendry Show. Now I'm trying to remember who did the voice of Lisa, who does the voice of Lisa Simpson, Yardley Smith. And, I think that those guys on The Simpsons will become sort of, you know, they will be in their own way legendary, the way the Flintstone people like Alan Reed and Mel Blanc and Bea Benaderet and Gene Vanderpeel and people like that are. At least to guys like me, to dorks like me. Most people don't know who those voices were done by. They just know, oh, wow, I really like Fred Flintstone, you know. Anyway, welcome back to the final half hour here of the show. And a reminder that philhenryradio.com has live streaming archival shows. So if you want to listen to a free archive show, you can go over to philhenryradio.com and listen to a free archive show. We are also going to begin popping in and doing some other original programming there on Phil Hendry Radio, just as a way of promoting philhenryshow.com. So enjoy it. And one other thing that I would like to remind you that while our show is leaving Talk Radio Network on the 24th, we are going to be returning to terrestrial radio, but we're going to always have a digital presence. The reason for that is you can't get away with not having one anymore. I mean, some people may think they can. Some people, especially people in radio, may want to ignore the reality of digital, but that's how I make my money. And, you know, I'm reading headline after headline every day in the radio trades about how radio is sinking lower and lower and going further and further through the floor. Now, whether that really upsets people that I'm saying that, look, don't get mad at me. Do something to fix it. Because here's the reality, guys. Whether you like it or not, I make my entire living from digital media. In other words, my website. In other words, our subscriptions. Most of my living. Radio doesn't even pay to keep the tap water going. Now, that's sad, but that's the truth. You can get mad at me for saying it, which is what happens. You know, most people get angry at me for, you know, calling out the business. I don't care. You think it bothers me? It doesn't bother me at all. You know, you can go ahead and you keep pounding your head against a brick wall if you want to. Meanwhile, I'm doing fine, man, you know. And you guys that allowed the radio business to sink right into the sewer, I mean, you only got yourselves to blame. You only have yourselves to blame, you know. So, having said all of that, we still want to have a terrestrial radio presence. Why is that? Because we feel that it's good promotion for where the real money is, and that is online. Now, you know, interpret that any way you want to. I'm just telling you the facts, man. Just like Jack Friday used to say, just the facts.
Who's Jack Friday?
Got the guy on the Simpsons. I have the guy on L.A. Law.
No, you jackball. That was the man on Dragnet.
Dragnet.
What's that?
That was an old cop show on TV, Dragnet, with Jack Friday. All right, so this last half hour, we were talking about whether mermaids exist or not. I hope you're all clear on the fact that they do not. I just wanted to kind of get that one set straight. There's no such thing as mermaids. Okay. Now, 2.5 men adding a lady to replace Angus T. Jones. Big news, huh? I don't know. 2.5 men will be adding a female character to fill the void left by departing star Angus T. Jones. 2.5 men will be adding a female character. It's going to be 2.5, two men and a little lady. The hit sitcom, CBS sitcom, is apparently looking to introduce a new female series regular this fall to replace former child star Angus T. Jones, who's leaving the show after 10 years. According to Deadline, which first reported the news, the role is for a girl in her late teens, early 20s, who comes to town looking for her father. She shows up at the home of Walden Schmidt, Ashton Kutcher, and Alan Harper, John Cryer, claiming to be the daughter of the house's previous owner, Charlie Sheen. Charlie Harper.
Oh, my God, there's going to be hell to pay on that.
Well, there ain't nothing he can do about it. Eventually, Deadline reports she'll move in with the duo, filling the spot once taken by Jones's character, Jake. Jones's departure means that only Cryer is left of the original Two and a Half Men in the title of the sitcom, which debuted back in 2003. Sheen, now starring on the show Anger Management, was fired from the successful comedy in 2011 amid personal controversy. Among other things, he publicly feuded with show creator Chuck Lorre and was hospitalized in January of that year for a drug-fueled binge. Production on the series had to be shut down. Remember those days?
I remember those very clearly, yes. And he was saying things like, what was the thing he was saying?
Yeah, he's going winning!
Oh, yeah, winning.
Winning. I thought that that was the saddest thing to see a man on that kind of a drug-fueled euphoria and mania. And yet, I admired it somehow. And here's why I admired it. Even though it was a drug-fueled mania that literally witnessed the man losing pounds before your very eyes, and he could very well have died right in front of us from a heart attack or a stroke, it was wonderful to watch. It was like a star exploding.
It was wonderful to watch.
Yes, it was, Phil. Yes, it was. It was wonderful to see. Well,
I know it's wonderful how far a guy can go on drugs.
Yeah.
How far a guy can go on drugs.
Well, if you think about it, it's not good.
It isn't good, and yet we all wonder how far can a man go without sleep? How far can you go living only on cocaine and smoking rocks out of a glass? Oh, God. It's exciting. It really is.
Margaret, you understand that I and many, many others don't get what you're saying.
That I and many others, what don't you get?
Don't be sarcastic, okay? Because I'm being really serious now.
What don't you get?
I don't get what the big admiration is here.
I think there's something terribly sexy and exciting about a man living on nothing but a rock and a glass you-know-what.
What's that mean, a glass you-know-what?
Well, it's phallic.
You know what I mean? He's got his lips wrapped around that glass, living on a rock, and that's it. Probably not even getting enough hydration.
And that's terribly exciting, huh?
Yes, it is. And I think men like you are threatened by it. Thank you. I'm Margaret Gray.
Don't clap for that. It's unbelievable you'd say something as irresponsible as that.
I am saying, Phil, that it is, yes, it's exciting. It's also sad.
You didn't say that. You said it was terribly exciting to see a guy with his lips wrapped around a glass you-know-what living on rock after rock.
All right, now that you've said it that way, yes, it is.
Uh-huh. Is there anything that's...
Don't go, uh-huh, like you're dismissing me, like I'm some third-world pagan baby, now 12, 13 years of age, looking at you as if you're my real father, because you spent a war-torn year... Never mind. I hope you come down with some paralysis.
Oh, man.
Oh, Ms. Gray, why'd you say that?
Because I mean it.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, what did she mean?
Don't look at me like I'm some third-world pagan baby, now 13 years old, looking up at you as if you're my real father after you spent a year in a war-torn region of the world?
I didn't say that.
Well, that's... I was filling in the blanks. I mean, you know... No, there's nothing sexy about what that guy did. Absolutely nothing.
I can't hear you, Phil. I'm on the toilet.
And by the way, did you fix the plumbing?
Well, Ms. Gray, there's a backup.
I don't give a sweet Jesus.
Well, there is a backup.
I don't care. You can get in here and fix it while I'm sitting on it, which I know you don't want to do.
No, I don't.
Then you can just wait. Okay, that's got it. Oh, my God.
Is it overflowing?
It is, yeah.
It's overflowing, yeah.
Well, you know something? We just got done telling you.
Go Don't yell at me, Phil. I'm right here.
Okay. I mean, we're having a yell into the bathroom there.
Hold on. I got it. Holy jeez.
Gotta get some paper towels?
Gotta need more than paper towels. Probably gonna need maybe a couple of bath towels here.
Well, don't keep flushing it, you jackball.
I gotta keep flushing. Gotta cleanse it out. Yeah, it's looking all messed up.
Don't keep flushing it, bud. You're just gonna keep flooding the floor.
I'm trying to flush, trying to get a cleansing.
What? I don't know where you found him, but boy, you ought to put him back in the box you got him out of. Drop him back into the hole you found him. And then if I were you, I'd go ahead and shovel the dirt in. Because, Phil, I am telling you.
Yeah, that did it.
Bud Dickman, the plumber. All right. I just think it's sad, and I have no admiration for him at all.
Well, where do they get off making this character the illegitimate father of this new character?
Making Charlie... Hey, they can do whatever they want. They wrote the show. Charlie Sheen got no say in that. And I'm not saying I don't necessarily have a problem with Charlie Sheen. I think he's an interesting guy. I think, you know, but what he did that year was a terrible... I think he was a mess. You know, he was a little bit manic. Who knows? But the fact of the matter is, take a look at him now, man. He didn't weather that period very well. Charlie Sheen today, who's a younger guy than me, he looks skinny. He looks frazzled. He looks, I don't know, he looks old. He looks old.
Are you saying you're better looking than Charlie Sheen?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying the guy looks worse off than I do. I think I look healthier than he does. I'll tell you that much. But the fact remains that he doesn't own that character. This new character they're introducing, played by whatever actress they cast, will be the daughter of the house's previous owner, Charlie Harper. And there ain't nothing that Charlie Sheen can do about it. That is a character that is owned by the people that own the series and that, you know, have licensed those characters. So if they... And you know what? I mean, this guy, Laurie, that Charlie Sheen was baiting and essentially making life miserable for, I mean, who could blame the guy if he, you know, takes a few shots through this character?
What kind of shots are you going to take?
Well, they can write that the Charlie Sheen character... What if they did... What if they called the... What if they said it in the game?
What?
What if they said that character was gay or bisexual?
I'd sue, man. If that was me, I'd sue him.
Yeah, the geek sue.
Yeah, but he can't do it. What's he going to sue for? He's an actor. He's hired to play a character. No matter what the character is, if they want to make the character gay, if they want to make the character a pedophile, he's not the character. He's the actor playing it. All right, we'll take a break and come back for our final segment here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And guess what? Today is the 31st of May. That means it's the last day in Customer Appreciation Month, the last day that you can take advantage of the specials we have. If you get a backstage pass for 1 month, you get a free download. For 6 months, you get 3 free downloads. And for a full year, you get 5 free downloads from PhilHendryShow.com. Check it out, PhilHendryShow.com. Last
Truth
day,
is
Customer Appreciation
bitch.
Month.
The Phil Hendry Show.
But when he put his lips around that glass...
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Larry Grover joins us from Conservatives of Kern County. Larry is in Culver City, California tonight, and I know that you want to come on the show tomorrow night. We'll do a little bit of a tease, Larry, on the Michelle Bachmann situation.
You know, Philly, Michelle Bachmann has been driven from the congressional race by a combination of forces there in Minnesota. I think that people have been wanting to drive her out of the Republican Party. They wanted to marginalize her. And they've been successful. I think Michelle Bachmann has spoken for a lot of conservatives. And, Mother, could you turn that down?
Sure.
Turn that down, Mother. And Michelle Bachmann is...
Hi, Phil. It's Gloria Grover.
Hey, Gloria, how you doing?
I am good. I just wanted to...
But don't mind giving me the phone back, Mother.
My phone?
Yeah.
Phil, what do you think of a 40-year-old man that lives at home?
And anyway, I don't want to hurt her.
What's that mean?
I don't want to hurt her. She keeps grabbing them.
So what do you think of a 40-year-old?
Do you mind, Mother? You know, I had a date last night, Phil, with a lady that promised to, it was going to end, I think, very favorably. She promised to, we were going to have a sexual, I believe, a sexual liaison. It promised to be an evening that would end favorably. And Mother came out of the bedroom with one of her hot water bottles, and she had it hanging, and she said, Larry, do you think this bottle is heavy enough to act as a, you know, as a collector of waste when my sister shows? So she knew what she was doing. She knew what she was doing.
No, I didn't do that.
What did she do?
You came out of the bed. She said, wouldn't this make a very good, you know, because my sister, my aunt is bedridden, and she needs a bedpan, and so...
It was an honest question.
Honest question. Well, I had a young lady there for a date that promised to end very favorably with a sexual event, and that's how I describe it. I tried to be very respectful, and Mother started laughing at that. So
yeah, you're on the show tonight, though, to talk about Michelle Bachmann.
Right, but I can't talk about Michelle Bachmann because Mother has the... What is it? Okay. The night was going to end favorably. The girl left. I had to take her home because she was sick, and by the sight of my mother asking about a bedpans and this hot water bottle that she wanted to use, I can't even go into it. And so that's why my feeling on behalf of Michelle Bachmann is even stronger. I'm enraged by things that Mother has done, which carries over into my politics, and I want Michelle Bachmann to stay in the race, to fight to the end, and to prevail against this cabal of liberalism and socialism that Barack Obama has forced upon. Forget it.
Phil, we're going to knock. Larry's got an early job.
Yeah, I'm interviewing for a manager job at the Jack in the Box over here.
At Jack in the Box. What happened to you, man?
What happened? What Mother happened to me?
No, he blames everyone, Phil.
All right, well, good night.
Good night, Phil.
Hell with that.
What a weird family.
I don't know why you entertain that man's phone calls, because I think he's got bigger problems than what Barack Obama's doing.
Well, there's no doubt about that, but I can tell that Mother really likes to stick it in and twist it and break it off, man.
Why?
I don't know. But she's bugging him, and he sounds like he's half out of his mind. And what is this stuff about she comes out of the back with a bedpan while he's got a date there? I don't know. In any event, Larry Grove is going to be on with us tomorrow night to continue discussing the Michelle Bachmann. Michelle Bachmann is not going to run for Congress, and that's cool. She can do whatever she wants, whatever. But I guess that's a major... it's not even... I don't think it's a major story. I think...
You think the Republicans are tired of her, too?
I think so, yeah. I think that, to be honest with you, I think the Republicans are as happy to see her go as they were to see Sarah Palin go. You know, I think the whole thing, if you want my honest opinion about the Republicans, they got distracted by those two. Those two didn't help them at all. Not at all. Those two helped them get defeated. And if you say that around enough conservative Republicans, they're going to look at you like you landed from the planet Mars. But I'm telling you, I'm absolutely right. When I say that the thing that got those guys wrecked was, that party wrecked, was their constant, fall in love with the conservative female of the day. And then they settle on some dude that's, I don't know, I didn't want to get into it, man, because it's way too depressing.
Yeah, well, he said he wants to be on tomorrow night, but he's got a date, too. What do you want to do?
Who, Grover?
Yeah.
With who? He's got a date.
Yeah, so he's going to take out that girl again and not take her home.
All right, we'll have him on around the second hour then, okay?
Yeah, hey, Larry?
Is that him on the phone?
Yeah. Yeah, you want the second hour? Yeah, I know. I know. Okay.
You want to keep it quiet, but every time you're yelling.
Hold on. What'd you say?
I said keep it quiet. You're yelling.
I can't hear what you're saying, Larry. What? Could you keep it down? Because I got to...
Give me the phone. Hey, Larry, it's Phil. Yeah, listen, Tomorrow night, second hour. Why am I talking to you like this? Why don't you come on the air? Because your mother what? Well, I don't know. Come on the air tomorrow night. Come on the air tomorrow night. tomorrow night, you, on my show. Oh, my God.
What's his problem?
Hold on. Larry, I want you to come on my show tomorrow night. Yeah, I know. Thank you very much. He says he heard the Mark Maron podcast. My show, not Mark Maron. I can't book for him. He's got his own, my show. Do you know who you're talking to? I'm Phil Hendry. Get out of here. Take that.
Yeah, hey, Larry.
Will you just get into the other room and do that? Hang up on him.
Wait a minute.
Hang up on him. By the way, speaking of Mark Maron, God.
Well, what did he want? He wanted to go on the Mark Maron podcast?
He's asking me about that because he heard the Mark Maron podcast. We were on one of the top podcasts in the history of the human race, the Mark Maron What the F podcast, and you can check that out. You can check it out at iTunes. You can check it out at SoundCloud. You can check it out all over the place. Phil Hendry guesting with Mark Maron on Mark's podcast today. I think it's episode like 393, but check it out. We were very proud to do it. And Mark, you're a hell of a guy for asking us. Thank you. The Phil Hendry Show is produced by me, Phil Hendry, as well as our good friend Dan Northcraft and others. And for, of course, a full 24/7 of enjoyment, you got to get a backstage pass to PhilHendryShow.com. If you don't, God knows what could happen. God knows how long your joy and your happiness can last without a BSP. That's PhilHendryShow.com. Until tonight, 10 o'clock, 1 o'clock on the East Coast, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Hendry.